There are some people in music that you can say one name, usually a first name, and you know exactly who we're talking about. That's the case with my guest today, but it's not just the name, it's the music and the message in her heart that shines. Babbi Mason's on the show next.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
So I have grown up listening to this voice. I've loved the energy she brings to a song and the way she communicates. There's something about this contagious spirit that is Babbi Mason, and I'm so happy. I think for the first time here to really unpack your story on Daniel Britt and Friends. Babbi Mason, welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you.
Now, I don't like to make people feel old. I like to think of it more as I'm honoring all the work you've done in Christian music. So that's really my point here is that I'm from Georgia. You're from Georgia. I think that's most of your story anyway. And so, you know, we've crossed paths several times as far as me coming to your concerts and then later even doing some work with you there in the Atlanta area with some music education kind of stuff. And so we'll talk about all of that. But Babbi, we've got to start at the beginning. And once upon a time, there was a little baby named Babbi. So where were you born? And tell me a little bit about your early life and maybe how that played into music.
Well, I was born originally in Jackson, Michigan. And my father was a pastor, so I'm a preacher's kid. And my dad pastored one church for 40 years, so that's really all I remember as far as being in my dad and my mom's house is that it was pretty much church.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a hold of music very early in life. I remember a huge, one of those old upright pianos that was in the first house that I remember as a little kid, and I remember banging on that big piano, and that piano followed us to our new house, the house that I spent most of my growing up years in. And the piano was so big. It was one of those big wooden upright pianos. It was so big that it wouldn't turn the narrow doorway going into our new house. And so that piano ended up in the garage. Well, my parents knew that I was serious about this music thing when many days in the wintertime I would go into the garage to play that piano. And even in the dead of winter, on some of the coldest days, even with my mittens on, I'd go out there in that garage and play that piano. And sometimes even the neighbors would gather as I would be back there in the garage playing that old piano. And so my parents realized, hey, I think this kid must have something here with this music. And so they bought a piano that would actually fit in the house. And so around the age of six, I started playing the piano, taking formal piano lessons from a great German piano teacher. He was very strict, and that just, you know, that worked well for me because I learned, you know, the rudiments and the fundamentals of actually playing by music. And then when I was 9 years of age, our church pianist at that time had to move away, and I got hired by the age of nine as a full-time church pianist. And so it was kind of like being thrown in the deep end because up to that time I'd learned to play by music, but Daddy's church, they didn't read music, and nobody played music, you know, by notes in my daddy's church, and so I was forced to learn how to play the piano by ear. And I could only play in one key as a nine-year-old, and that was the key of C. And so that meant they sang in the key of C for a very, very long time. And sometimes it was too high, and sometimes the songs were too low, and sometimes it was just playing too bad. They had to sing all of those songs in the key of C. But I look back on those days, and I see that God used those days as the training ground, really. On-the-job training for the ministry that I'd be in today. So I thank the Lord for that upbringing. And my mom has a beautiful voice. My mom is still living. My dad passed away a couple of decades ago. But my mom is still living in Michigan, and she has a beautiful voice. And I think really my mom was the first voice, the first musical voice that I heard. And my mom has actually recorded with me a couple of times on my records. And so that's kind of, you know, the first influence that I had. And then when I got in high school, of course, living within the shadow of Detroit,
Right.
You know, Motown music played a big part in my music influence.
Yeah, sure, sure. In the beginning, then, we got to explore this topic, the name Babbie. Where did that come from?
Well, I asked my mom one day where that name came from, and she told me that it came from a television soap opera. Yeah. And so I went online, and I checked this out. And there was a soap opera where there was a family. The dad was a minister, and I think their last name was Davis.
Uh-huh.
And they had this daughter named Babbie. And evidently my mom liked the show, and she liked that name, and that's how I got it. So I got the name from TV.
And I'm sure it's been butchered and misspelled and everything under the sun, right?
Oh, I've been called Baby, Barbie, Bambi, Beverly, Bebe, BB, CC, Oprah. I mean, just all.
Yeah.
You name it, I've been called it. But, you know, it's all right. You know, I've grown up with that name. It's a unique name. I've actually met a couple of Babbies. As a matter of fact, I've met a couple of Babbies who were named for me.
Wow.
And I know, what a humbling thing. And they were named for me, and I've sung at their showers and their christenings and things like that. So it's, you know, I kind of grew into the name. When I first, you know, started going to school, Babbie rhymes with too many things.
Yeah, right.
But as I got older and started singing more, it became a great fit. And, you know, it's one of those kind of first names. You know, you can just kind of go with Babbie.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's your website, right? Babbie.com.
That's it, Babbie.com.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, the message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus, far away or door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. For each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead.
Together.
Daniel Britton Friends.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'm afraid. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'm afraid. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'm afraid. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'm afraid.
Chilling waters, running cold, chills the body, not the soul.
Satan tempts me, but it's all in vain, 'cause with my Jesus I still remain. On the mountain my God spoke, out of his mouth came fire and smoke.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart,
Bevy Mason is with us. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and some wonderful classics in Christian music have come from your time on the road and recording. But where and when did it really start for you? I mean, I understand you grew up in the musical thing, the piano, the German teacher, the preacher's kid. But when did it like grow to the point where you thought, okay, it's time to pack a suitcase and go on a little road trip so I can share my music down the road or across the state or across the country? You know, at what point did it start turning into this traveling ministry type thing?
Well, I started teaching middle high school in the late 70s, early 80s, and that was my daytime job. That was my real job. Mm-hmm. But once we moved, you know, I got married to my sweet husband, Charles, uh-huh. and we moved south here to Georgia. And one thing just started leading to another. I started playing the piano, you know, in the church where we started going, and then leading worship. And then people would ask me to sing at their, you know, prayer breakfast or their ladies' Bible study or, you know, things like that, activities around the church. And it happened that my singing calendar began to encroach upon my school schedule. I'd find myself in, you know, somewhere in Georgia, like Macon, you know, say a couple of hours
sure.
from home on a Sunday night,
yeah.
having to get back to Atlanta, to Marietta, where we lived, with school kids and a real job and all of those responsibilities that took place, you know, early on Monday morning, you know, mm-hmm. and having to get back to work. And then we had another baby, and life just started to get complicated. My calendar began to fill up with singing events, and children started coming, and school schedules, and it began to. And I was teaching piano lessons and voice lessons at that time, and life just started to get complicated. Well, so complicated that I felt led to quit my job. And after much prayer and much consideration and, you know, praying with my husband, I quit my job as a school teacher in 1984. Well, that summer, Daniel, I heard about this music conference in the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
Called, do you remember the Christian Artist Music Seminar in the Rockies?
Yeah, yeah.
And I went out there with my husband. We drove all the way from Atlanta.
Wow.
To north of Denver. It took us 2 days to get out there in our little Chevy, you know, little Chevy SUV.
Uh-huh.
I don't forget what Bronco, like little car.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And slept in our car. We didn't have money for a hotel. We slept in our car. We actually got a Shell gas credit card prior to going out there. So our plan was to charge all of our gas on our Shell gas credit card and then use our cash for our incidentals and our meals.
Right.
We didn't know. This was before the internet. This was before you could, you know, plan your trip. We ended up not knowing that there are no Shell gas stations west of St. Louis at that time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So we ended up spending a lot of our cash, you know, for gas.
Yeah.
And having, you know, to eat peanut butter and jelly and grilled cheese basically for the weekend, the little cabin that we rented.
Mm-hmm.
But that week, Daniel, it changed my life. I entered a song in the songwriting competition, and they raked my songs over the coals.
Yeah.
It was like saying, you know, Babby, we love you, but your song is ugly.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I wondered, I had to second guess, God, did I make the right decision, you know, by quitting my job? I ended up going into the vocal competition, and I came in third. And for me, I guess being a perfectionist, you know, it's either first place or no place. You're either, in my mind, you're either a winner or a loser. You're either first place or no place. And here I quit my job. My husband and I drove all the way to Colorado. I didn't make it in the songwriting division. I came in third in the vocal division. But over the course of that next year, I really caught the vision of this songwriting thing and began to write songs. And the first song that I wrote after coming off of that mountain at that conference was a song called All Rise.
Oh, yeah.
And All Rise began to catch on. It became this phenomenal song that really I wrote in about, you know, 10 minutes.
Wow.
And I sang it one night at a conference, a music conference in Marietta, Georgia. And the response was so phenomenal that we ended up singing the song four times that night.
Wow.
And it was all caught on video. And this video began to kind of go what we would call viral now, but it began to just, people would make copies of this videotape, and they'd play it in their Sunday school, and they'd play it in their churches, and they'd play it at home. And my phone began to ring.
Wow.
And then the next year, I would go back to Estes Park and win first place in the songwriting competition and the vocal competition.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always record, you know, executives and publishers, and they began to call me.
Wow.
And a couple of years later, I would sign with Word Records as an artist and a writer and began to write, you know, songs that would end up on records, songs like Each One Reach One and songs like With All My Heart and All Rise and He'll Find a Way. My good friend Donna Douglas wrote,
mm-hmm.
was one of the biggest songs that I recorded. Songs like Hallowed Be Thy Name and Shine the Light, and would end up, you know, on these major record companies for almost, you know, 15 years.
Wow.
And so that's really kind of, you know, it's one thing connected to another thing, some really big mountaintop experiences and some really questioning valley experiencing, you know, God, did I make the right decision by quitting my job? But I look back on it, and it was probably one of the best decisions that I made.
Babby Mason, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and these songs just bring back, you know, memories of just this classic sound and this wonderful message that brought hope to people's lives and still does. In fact, you look at fast-forwarding 20, 30 years later, where you went and your craft was maybe shredded apart, you were given some critique, some coaching, you went back and you proved yourself, and really the hand of God in all of that as well. Now you're able to, and I'm sure this is part of your calling, bring that experience and that education to young artists, young writers who want to do what you've done and show them there's a right way and a wrong way to approach this, but at the basis, you've got to hone your skill, right?
Exactly. You know, you probably know, like I know, that even if you have a great voice, the voice doesn't really have a vehicle unless it has a song.
Yeah.
And that song has to be great. I tell my students, I teach, Daniel, I told you a moment ago, one thing always leads to another. Mm-hmm. And now here I am. I'm doing a lot of teaching. I have taught at Atlanta Christian College. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the adjunct faculty of Liberty University.
Wow.
And Lee University. I make a lot of guest appearances at a lot of Christian colleges across the United States. Spring Arbor University, my alma mater, mm-hmm. Cedarville University in Cedarville, Indiana. A lot of places. I just love to go and share this love for songwriting because it really is a craft.
Mm-hmm.
It's a craft. It's not just inspiration, but we as songwriters say it's not only inspiration, it's also perspiration mm-hmm. that goes into writing great songs.
Well, let me interrupt you right there because what you said, All Rise, 10-minute song, okay, God, I'm ready. I got 10 minutes. Give me a song. And that's what we think, right?
Yes, and sometimes it happens like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'm driving, you know, down the expressway. That's my favorite place to ride is in the car
mm-hmm.
because I'm captive. You know, my mind is at rest.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll get a song in 5 or 6 or 10 minutes.
Right.
Like All Rise just was handed to me literally on a silver platter
right.
from heaven.
Right.
And then there are other days, like the song Each One or Each One. I saw that title on a newsletter that came in my mail, and I said, wow, what a great idea for a song, and sat down, and line by line, the song that you hear today doesn't resemble anything like the song was when I first started writing it.
Yeah.
Over the course of, I'd say, about 3 months, I crafted that song line by line, melody by melody, fixing this line, taking this line out, really handcrafting that song. And so both ways, you know, whether it's inspired or whether that song is birthed by blood, sweat, and tears,
mm-hmm.
both ways are, you know, viable. Both ways are beautiful. Both ways are, I believe, totally inspired by the Lord. And that's what I teach my students, that sometimes you don't have the luxury. You don't have the luxury of waiting and saying, okay, God, give me a song. Some days the writer has to take the initiative and jumpstart the process.
There was a holy hush all over as I walked into the room. And I stood before him face to face. I was gloriously made new. There was a great and awesome presence, and the light was bright as day. As I bowed to kneel with the angels, I heard the Spirit say, all rise, stand before the throne in the presence of the Holy One. All rise, all rise, as we worship the Messiah. All rise. Then those all around me with their hands uplifted high, and the Spirit laid his hands on me, and I uplifted mine. We were singing hallelujahs, praises to his name, and as I bowed to kneel the angels, I heard the Spirit. Of the Holy One.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, my guest today is Babbie Mason, and I think let's go back to 1984. If I got the year right, that was Estes Park. That's when you drove out in the car with the Shell gas card that didn't work beyond St. Louis, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're with your husband, and that was the first year, and so that's when this all happened. And then the next year, you went back and you improved some things, and you had this wonderful song, the All Rise song that we talked about, and you saw the Lord was really making a big way here for you, and At that point, did you start meeting some of the, what we might call the right people? Did you start meeting influential people in the music industry that became mentors to you, and you've built relationships that lasted until today?
Absolutely. It was almost immediate. At first, you know, when I won first place in the vocal competition and won first place in the songwriting competition, that would be in 1985.
Right.
Almost immediately, people began to call me, you know, to talk about, you know, signing with their record company or writing a song for them. And you have to understand, as far as songwriting, I didn't really have a clue how to write a great song.
Mm-hmm.
All Rise was really just kind of, you know, it was initiated by the Lord. I mean, I wrote the song in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, I would start taking this songwriting thing really seriously. I began to co-write with people who are better than me. That's the first thing, is to write with people who can bring you up. And so I started writing with my good friend Donna Douglas, who also went up there to the conference with me. And one of the beautiful things is the folks, Cam Floria, who actually started the Christian Artist Music Seminar in the Rockies,
mm-hmm.
He had one of the ladies that was on his publishing staff, and she became a coach for me and really became a sounding board and critiqued a lot of my songs. Little by little, publishers began to call me. I started submitting songs for their projects, and those songs would end up in a Christmas musical or in a choir, as a choir octavo or something like that. And then a couple, I'd say around 1989, I ended up meeting with some folks at Word Records and signed as an artist with Word Records and was with them for about 10 or 11 years. And then after that, went on to record for Spring Hill and worked with them for about 5 years. And then I joined the ranks of the independent artists and have been making records on my own these last few years and teaching at our music conference, which we, in the early years, our conference was called the Babbie Mason Music Seminar. We held it at a big conference center over in Atlanta. Well, then we moved, and it was that conference center was kind of out of our realm of transportation. It was just on the other side of Atlanta. We moved almost near the Alabama-Georgia state line.
Uh-huh.
And we started hosting that conference out here closer to our home. And it is we downsized the conference and made it real intensive, very personable, almost like having your own personal mentor.
Mm.
And it's very valuable. And we call it now the Inner Circle. And you can go to our website at babbie.com. You can get all the information about the Inner Circle. We host two conferences a year, one for singers, one for those folks that feel like the Lord has called them into a music ministry that might take them, you know, across the street or across town or, you know, across their state or their region or their country or the world, those that feel like they've been called into a singing music ministry. We work with those people, help them to define their calling and work with their voice and teach them how to design their concert, teach them how to make a great record that doesn't cost them a whole lot of money. And then we talk about the Internet and how to use the Internet to your advantage and promoting your music and promoting the gospel. Mm-hmm. Then we have another tract of the Inner Circle that is just for songwriters, and we teach you how to write a great song, how to come up with great ideas, how to write beautiful lyrics, how to marry that lyric to a melody, how to co-write, what to do with your songs once they're completely written, how to make demos, how to shop your songs, how to use the Internet to promote your endeavors. And it is a very, very valuable conference. People come from literally all around the world to gather together. I get a chance to teach and bring in some of my industry friends, some of our favorite singers like Charles Billingsley and Helen Baylor and Ron Canole and Carol Cimbala, who's the choir director of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah.
And they get a chance to meet these people one-on-one, hear their stories, glean from their experiences. So it really is an awesome conference called the Inner Circle, a lot like the conference that we used to do, but downsized, more intensive, more intense, more personable.
I taught at one of these. You had a radio part of this that was just kind of to talk through the radio side of music, and that I teamed up with another radio guy there in Atlanta, and that was a great experience. I still remember that, and just remember the questions. They were hungry for information, And it was a wonderful way of co-laboring for Christ in this educational setting to everybody bringing their game higher, you know, and improving quality for the King. That's great. I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's been just the ingredients of my life, Daniel. I know the Lord has called me to sing, and I tell you, Daniel, I am more purposeful, I think, today than I ever have been, and we can talk about that in just a moment. But I know the Lord has called me to teach,
mm-hmm.
and my years that I've spent in the middle school classroom teaching what I call mental high school, lovingly call it mental high school.
Yeah.
Love teaching middle school, and I still have I have friendships today with a lot of my students who I taught, you know, back a couple of decades ago. But I know the Lord has called me to teach and to train young musicians, or when I say young, not necessarily in age, many of them are, but some of them are young in their experiences. I know the Lord has called me to teach and train and encourage and mentor and sharpen the tools and give people, equip people for ministry, as the Bible says. And it really is, it brings me such great joy. It's so much fun to see people get it, to see the light bulbs come on. And I've been teaching up at Lee University in songwriting, in the area of songwriting now for about 20 years, and
Wow. And
been teaching at Liberty. I just joined the adjunct faculty at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I've been going up there for a couple of years now. And it really is it's so valuable to be able to impart knowledge and experience into students who have this vision of, you know, standing before people and leading worship and mm-hmm. writing songs for the church and writing songs that people can sing. And those songs, you know, the responsibility of it all is that many of these songs may outlive my years. I have songs in the hymnal now.
Sure, yeah.
And songs on the internet and songs that other people record. And it's one thing for me to write something that I can say, but when somebody else finds value and they own or they voice my words and my melody, that just reduces me down to a brown sauce. I mean, it just humbles me to know that somebody besides my mother would love something
right.
that I write.
Right.
And it's a real blessing.
Babbie Mason, wonderful insight, wonderful person. We've got more to come here. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with these classic Babbie Mason sounds right now.
In this quiet place with you, I bow before your throne. I bear the deepest part of me to you and you alone. I keep no secrets, for there is no thought you have not known. I bring my best and all the rest to you and lay them down. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in you is yours completely. I'll serve you. According to your plan, so help me, Lord, to seek your face before I seek your hand, and trust you know what's best for me when I don't understand. Then follow in obedience in every circumstance.
Babbie Mason. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for, added strength, your courage to renew. But do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done.
Light, you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide.
It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Babbie Mason is my guest today, and let's go back to your marriage. I want to talk about your family for a minute and talk about Charles. Okay, you talk a lot about education. Do you find that you are constantly learning from Charles or having to still train and bring Charles up into into the man he should be? And I think you know where I'm going with this.
I do know where you're going. I've said for years, and my husband is, you know, he can take it. He's such a kidder, and, you know, he's a fun man. You know what I'm saying? He's not stuck in the mud.
Yeah, yeah.
The man has a great sense of humor, and so he can take it. We give it to one another, and we take it from one another. And I have said for years that, you know, the motto around our house is, train up thy husband in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But Charles has played such a vital role in our ministry, and this October will be 29 years. Of course, I quit my job in 1984,
yeah.
So I'm looking at 30 years in ministry, Daniel,
wow.
And the Lord just keeps giving me assignments,
mm-hmm.
And they're very exciting assignments, and my husband has been a part of it all right from Jump Street. When I quit my job in 1984, he was, he liked to tell people, he was a professional killer. He was a bug exterminator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
You have to know Charles. He's a big, kind of a big, burly dude.
Uh-huh.
And so he quit his job after I'd been in the ministry for about a year, and I'm spinning plates, you know, back there in the little workroom of our house. I'm answering the phone for the ministry, and I'm typing out, you know, directions and getting, you know, the information about the upcoming concert and spinning my own little plates back there. And he realized that I need help. And so after here again, after much conversation between one another and you know, conferring with our pastor and friends and family, Charles quit his job in after 1985 and joined me in the ministry as a full-time vocation. And he travels with me. He sets up, he tears down, he runs sound, he, you know, sets up the book and the product table, he runs interference, he goes and, you know, he troubleshoots, he does, he works in the office, he loads and unloads. I mean, Charles is an invaluable part of this ministry.
Wow.
And he actually does sing. Back in the day, way back in the day, when I made five what we call custom albums, or albums that I paid for and produced,
right,
Charles actually sang with me on one of those projects.
Wow.
And so he, every once in a while, will come out of the booth in the back and come up on stage and sing with me. But Charles and I have will celebrate 33 years of marriage in just a couple of days.
Wow.
And he loves to play in the dirt. Charles and I are total opposites of one another. I'm from the north. He's from the south. I'm from the city. He's from the country. I'm a writer. I love to write books and Bible studies and songs. And so I spend a lot of time in front of the computer, you know, in the kind of tethered to my laptop,
right,
in my office. Charles, on the other hand, is outside playing in the dirt. He has a wonderful garden. He has a muscadine vineyard.
Wow.
A beautiful garden with taters and maters and peas and greens and things. And I love aromatherapy, and he does too. His favorite fragrance is diesel fuel.
Yeah, right.
So we, you know, opposites do attract.
Yeah.
I'm a living witness that opposites do attract. Sometimes opposites attack too. Don't get me wrong. But because remember, Charles, he's a husband in training.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm a
that's
wife
right.
in training too. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Charles and I have seen, you know, the Lord. The Lord is so faithful, and we know he's faithful because he is faithful to us. And I could tell you story after story as I look back on my life and I see the hand of God. You know, when I tried to do things my way and would be disappointed, and then the Lord would come in and in a heartbeat turn a situation around and fix it, and it would be one of those situations that would literally alter the course of my life.
You all stop by the church sometime. Stop by the church sometime. Oh, something may be said to help you on your way. If you stop by
by
Babby Mason. Wow, I love her music, and Babby's going to join us again next week for part two as we feature her music and more of the story that has given us this wonderful, wonderful talent in gospel music, in Christian music, and again, more of Babby Mason next week as we place the bookmark here at part one, pick back up with part two and the conclusion on Daniel Britt and Friends. Reminder, check out the website at danielbritt.com and follow us on Facebook and tweet to us at Brit and Friends. See you next week.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.